Thank you. I have to admit, I got to your lunch break today and thought, they've got to come back and do a session on gender-based violence. So thank you for showing up. At the same time, sort of having looked with Malcolm at issues about awareness of our culture and human sexuality, I was thinking, well, here's an issue that from a different angle definitely links both of them. So although this will have a very different tone to where we were this morning, I think without any planning, there is a link into being aware of culture and subculture and how we respond to it. And I'll leave you to sort of reflect on that and pick it up as we go through. I just want to pray briefly before we start. Father God, help us to see if and how this time together and these resources can help us and our churches in our journey towards wholeness in you. Amen. Amen. So I wonder when the first time was for you that gender-based violence kind of landed as an issue in your lives beyond cerebral knowledge. Maybe somewhere in your own personal life, your family, your friends, maybe in a pastoral context, maybe they were one and the same thing. For me, I was in my late 20s and working for another agency at that time, I went to Congo and I can vividly remember seeing large groups of women gathered in colorful clothing outside Bukavu Cathedral, who were refugees from the violence, who'd all suffered attacks from the Interahamwe, terrible gender-based violence, victims of rape as a weapon of war. Some of them, as I talked and did interviews over the next couple of days, described things we can barely imagine. Young girls seeing their mothers with stomachs slit open, fetuses removed. And we can't pretend that level of graphic violence isn't part of this wider issue. And then going through my own life, seeing how it touches people I know, strangers who I come into contact with. And in April of this year, while I was preparing the films that form part of the resource we're offering with the Dignity Initiative, a colleague disclosed her own rape at the age of 14, the subsequent pregnancy from that, and chose this initiative as the time when she was actually going to go public with that and talk about it. And you can hear her story on one of the insight videos on the resource. And then just last week, the wife of a colleague of mine emailed me some information about a GBV Awareness Day happening at a regional level in Oxfordshire, somewhere in the future, knowing I was part of this resource, part of this initiative. And it happened, bizarrely, to be a day where I wasn't already meetinged up. And I went through to the Eventbrite site. Large event, 2 weeks ahead, fully booked. That's FGM in Oxfordshire. So it's an issue which is all around us. And one of the things we did when we began this initiative of drawing together was to look at some of the areas where we saw our mission workers, wherever they were around the world, encountering this issue. And again, you might resonate with some of that either from personal experience, perhaps particularly over in this left-hand side, or through reports. I know when you're working on something, your antennae are more alert, but there has been a lot, hasn't there, in the last year, 2 years in the media. I'm thinking with the forced prostitution there of the sex gangs in Oxford and more recently in Rotherham. Of course, the Boko Haram kidnappings of 300 schoolgirls still out there. I heard that apparently there is an estimated 6,000 forced marriages in the UK each year now. That figure was shocking to me. I imagined that would be quite a lot lower. And then what brought me up short last week, I don't know if any of you saw it, was a Channel 4 news report where there was a group of seven Yazidi women who'd managed to escape from Syria, from Raqqa, where they had been held as sex slaves by IS. And I think it was something to do with the nearness of time to the interview, to their release. They were totally traumatized, and it's quite rare that you see that level of reporting and that immediacy, I think, even on the news. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I look at that web and I hear a report like that and I get completely overwhelmed. Whether I'm looking at it as a UK issue or a global issue, and this interview with the Yazidi women, I do, in carefulness, recommend it to you. It was one of those times. I don't know where you are with that this afternoon. You're probably just zoning in from all the other things we've been talking about. But my solace in those times of overwhelm is knowing that when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit will pray for us. And so really what I want to invite you to do in this 30 minutes we have now is allow our time to be more than simply an information session. And when those moments come, when the words or the statistics or a particular story, perhaps as we move from the overview, the overwhelming overview, to the microcosm of one woman's life, touches you in a way where you feel something of that overwhelm or fear or anger, you will allow yourself to just call out, pray in the Spirit quietly. Allow those prayers to go up, because we can't take all of this in one go. And if you choose to share it, the people you're sharing it with will need time and space and wisdom. So, moving through. Yeah. It's interpersonal violence. Yeah, thank you for checking. Yeah, intimate partner violence. Yeah. Yeah, so in close relationships, but not necessarily in marriage relationships. Yeah. So clearly these are figures that cry out to be heard, and it's the scale of the problem that was the impetus behind us launching the Dignity Initiative in November last year, to help to ensure that the voices of women suffering the indignity of GBV are heard, but equally important that action is taken as a result. And that can be a process as well. We can get through the overwhelm and acknowledge the problem, but then what do we do? So again, as we go through the 30 minutes, I hope that I can begin to offer some of the things we've thought of and you can try them on for size. The other thing I think it's probably important to say is that this isn't a fad. I know that in the position you are, you get any number of issues through your letterbox and into your inbox. It helped me in preparing for this to know that BMS's commitment to justice for women goes back 200 years to William Carey, and the way it manifested in his time was him going to India and campaigning against the practice of sati, the practice that we know as widow burning, often on a husband's funeral pyre. So, our commitment for justice to women is there in the past. It will also, I think it's equally important to say, continue way beyond this particular focus. But what Dignity is enabling us to do is draw our present-day work in this area together and to integrate the work that's happening in Africa and Asia and the UK thematically. So that's a little bit of what I'll give you a taster of today. And what that means is that we can link long-established commitments. So in India, that's moved from Carey to alternative livelihoods work in Calcutta. And many ministers have done insight trips to that project. We can link those long-term projects with significant new projects. So in East Africa, there's a massive sensitization program going on in Mozambique and Uganda and Zimbabwe, working on both sides of the justice cycle. So increasing the demand for justice by raising awareness through communities and church leaders, but then also increasing the supply side by working with Christian lawyers who can get into the legal system and take a stand there. Alongside that, there's an advocacy agenda, and a whole suite of resources that we hope will help congregations and individuals to stand with us. So you can see coming up the seven locations where we have specifically focused projects for the Dignity Initiative, and some of those I've already mentioned. But of course, the issues we looked at on the diagram are there in all the countries where we work, just as they're there in the UK. So in Albania, which we'll be hearing about shortly, the supported partner workers who are pastoring churches in Tirana will be facing these issues. I know many of you here support mission workers in Nepal, and this the global quality of this issue was brought back to me in Cynthia Chadwell's recent prayer letter, where she took five of those issues off the diagram: child marriage, rape, domestic abuse, prenatal sex selection and trafficking. And for each one of those, there was an individual or a family literally in her street that she could write about. So although we're with the sort of the purple ones, we're pulling out projects which focus on mission workers who've got a particular justice ministry, the issues, as in your own communities, are more wide-ranging than that. So I'm imagining that most of you have seen both the current issue of Catalyst and the free DVD that was offered with it. I'm seeing some nods. Yeah, and one of the challenges with doing a session like this a few months after a resource has come out is you don't know who's had a chance to look at it and who hasn't. Some of you, through conversations, have told me you've already preached on this issue, either using the scriptural material that's in there or using that as a stimulus for your own thinking in some of the videos. And that is so heartening to hear at this sort of early stage in the initiative. And I'm equally aware that some of you, just with everything else going on, won't have had time to lift the lid off. So I'm going to try and do a bit of each today and guide you through what's there. And when I show you material, it will by and large be material that isn't on the DVD, so that it's not repetitious for those of you who've already had a chance to explore it. I think it's important to say as well that whenever we take on a big issue like this, it really matters to us to be doing it in partnership. So the fact that all four of the Baptist unions in the UK, well, Irish Baptist Network's not a full union, but Baptist Union of Wales, Scotland and Baptist Together are behind this initiative is hugely important as well. It's not something that belongs to anybody in that sense. So moving from the global to our own country, you don't need me to tell you that there are connections to be made with this theme closer to home. We're aware that the UK is very much part of these global statistics. And in fact, the best statistics we have suggest that those rates of abuse don't change significantly in UK churches. So think about that with me for a moment. In a church of, say, 100 people, on average 60 would be female. Say 15 women in that congregation will have experienced abuse, or be experiencing abuse, or will experience abuse at some point in their lifetimes. And I think when you bring it down to that, we just recognise that the problem is huge. And it's one of the reasons why we've taken particular care over this resource. Yes, we want to increase awareness and support for the work overseas, but we're well aware that this is an issue you're dealing with here as well. It really is a global, local issue. So much of the theological and the pastoral guidance material on here is about equipping and enabling you to take a stand against GBV as individuals and as churches. And I want to just step back a little bit and do a bit of a straw poll here at the moment for my own learning. When you see a resource like this, a resource of this format, not this, forget about the cover and what's on it, what do you imagine will be on it? Say? Videos. Thank you. Anybody else? Lots of people's stories, yeah? In what format? In an interview, in a video, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. This was my suspicion. I'm going to take this back to the bright young things who format our resources. So yeah, there are videos on here. And there's 8 of them, and I think they're well worth watching. But of all the resources I've been involved with so far, I would say that the videos are the least important thing on this DVD. So I don't know if you notice, it's actually true of all BMS resources, but I'm going to labour the point with this one. If you put this in the disk drive of your computer, it will open up and show you all kinds of other PDFs and written material to equip you and enable you. So although the opening menu shows you all the videos, inside there is loads of other stuff, and you can just print it off, you can use it on screen, whatever. So to help us through that, I actually printed you out the resource guide just so you can see what's on there besides videos. And I'm just going to pull some of the things out. There are 2 videos at the beginning, which are a useful way in. There's a welcome from David Kerrigan, and then there's what's called Introducing Dignity, which is lots and lots of sound bites, a bit like you said, sir, where people are sharing how this issue has impacted them, a lot of them for within our Baptist family here in the UK. Then there's a theological overview. It's not long, but it's potent. This was one of the first things I commissioned. By Stephen Holmes at the University of St. Andrews. It's just 5 sides. But interestingly, in the light of what Malcolm was saying yesterday, it builds in the final paragraph to looking at the powers. Do you remember him mentioning those? The things that infiltrate our culture and can control us. I think it's really helpful before moving in to scripture. If you just glance down, when you are ready to go to scripture, there's these things we've called deeper scriptural insights. And we've come up with that title because some of the material on there is for sermon stimuli. There's enough for a series of sermons if you so desire. But the second half of each one is also there for leaders who are leading small groups. So reading that would give them enough to lead a home group. And you'll see that we've purposefully picked texts which are both Old and New Testament. So some of those passages in the Old Testament that very rarely get preached on and contain very graphic violence are tackled here. I think at a level that has integrity and depth and challenge. There's an overarching piece on justice through the Bible, which you would all be able to add your own thoughts to. And then Jesus and GBV moves us into the New Testament and re-explores the woman at the well as a survivor of GBV, which certainly was a perspective that I hadn't fully grasped until I looked at this. And each one of those deeper scriptural insights links to an insight video. And that's where you can put the scriptural text alongside a current project or ministry and see how that's being worked out. So for example, the Women of Bethlehem is a reworking of the Levite and his concubine. And alongside that is the first insight video in Thailand, The Women of Bangkok. So there's lots of stimulus there for you to put material together, juxtapose, link in ways that you think might be meaningful to the audiences and the groups that you're working with. There's an action sheet. I'll say a bit more about that later, but what I want to particularly pull out from that is the Dignity Church Charter. The wording of this is in the ministerial reflections. It's also up on the website. And I'll leave a copy of this at the back just so you can read through. This is something that if you as a leader are convinced of the worth of this initiative, you may well want your church to sign up too. You can see it's not long, but it's potent again. And then, yeah, just quickly overleaf, there's further resources that would take you deeper into this from a development perspective. There's also a little series of videos from Restored, who some of you will know, called In Churches Too. And I particularly recommend the first one of those. They're all animations First one's called Myths, and that really helped me when I was beginning to draw this research together a year ago. It's a really clean starting point. And then down below, you'll also see the pastoral leaflets and guidance, which the Faith and Societies team have refreshed as part of this initiative. And they're on our website and the Baptist Union website. So that's sort of the nitty-gritty of the pastoral care. I'm not going to dwell too much on the resource because it's there and it's self-contained and you will find your way through it. But I did want to show you a little bit of a live clip from one of the areas where we're working. This is unique to ministers' conferences for 2015. And it's in India, a project called FreeSet, where we supply mission workers and finance. And in fact, there's two mission workers in training at the moment who are going to be going out to increase the capacity of this project and who, if you so wished, you could choose to support through the church partnership scheme. So I'll just have a look at this. It's about 4 minutes. What you've seen is what you might regard as a typical view of GBV, something that happens out there. And to be fair, you probably expect BMS to show you an overseas story. Although some of the things we've seen in India won't be replicated in exactly the same way here in the UK, we've already heard mentioned today, haven't we, of the rise in pornography, the statistics around that. It's always been high, it's getting higher. We know that 4 in 5 men who travel to Bangkok, not just from the UK, but from the UK, will engage in some way with the sex industry. So in the light of that, there's a few questions just to sort of have in your mind as you approach the issues here. And while you're thinking about the connections, let me tell you a story of another alternative livelihoods program that's come to us from Shoreditch via Thailand. If you can see the name Ella on the key there. This is the logo for Ella's Home, which is a UK safe house providing aftercare for women who've been trafficked and sexually exploited in this country. And there's a deep link here with work that was going on years ago in Thailand. Some of you who've had long associations with BMS may remember Emily Chalk being a mission worker with Nightlife, the Alternative Livelihoods Programme in Bangkok. A few years ago, her work came out on this. Yeah, I'm seeing some nods. This Dark World, which is still available, incidentally. And I think it's got songs specially written by Pete James. I think it's quite an interesting way into the issue for youth groups. Tackles quite a lot of stuff, also from a male perspective, of engaging in that world. So Emily came back from Thailand a few years ago and met a woman called Ella, who was a survivor of the sex industry in this country, and found there was really nothing for her. There's a lot of detail here which you can find through looking at the Ella's Home site, But basically, beyond 45 days, there isn't any rehab or aftercare for women who found themselves in this position. So Emily used the knowledge she had from nightlife to set up Ella's Home. And it's a great example of how learning and mission service in one culture is now informing practice here in the UK. The women live in a Christian community, and they will be enabled to help to be helped to escape the cycles of exploitation that keep them trapped there. So, as you engage with the DVD, these are the kind of questions the resource will draw you to. They're good questions to take into reflection. And I guess our hope is that where the GBV resonates with you as an international justice issue, or also one uncomfortably close to home, or as both, people will eventually come to the same conclusion that Lynn Green has and that she shares on the Introducing Dignity video at the start of the resource. And as I said, that's a powerful piece to show your leadership team. Many different members of our community speak up and share how the issue touches them. And we do need to speak and teach about this, don't we? We don't need to be the experts, but we need to be the body of Christ. And we need to know where to go for the additional resource and help which we haven't been equipped with in our path through life so far. So obviously, the DVD, which I've now buried, is a fairly major resource. It's been a year in the making, and our prayer really is that it can be a blessing to time-poor churches and leadership teams who have these issues in their churches and on their doorsteps, but don't have the year that I was gifted with to go away and create an all-in-one resource with good signposting out to the experts. We've worked pretty hard to try and provide sound information and scriptural guidance on it in a way that it's digestible and pastoral at the same time. I've mentioned the pastoral guidance leaflets that Bugbee has provided, and they still have really good detailed information. We're also setting up a training day at IMC, our Mission Training College, at the end of June. And that's about handling disclosure well in these churches, because when you start to speak about this, as some of you already know, people will confide in you. And we're all aware of the pastoral issues that opens up. So again, Restored are doing this with us. They're the ones who have that little sequence of animations in churches too. And you may well feel that for yourself or for somebody in your church, you just want that bit more equipping to follow through. So that's going to be happening. I've also put out at the back a guide to sharing dignity in small groups. And again, this is nothing you couldn't work out for yourself if you look through the whole resource, but it's a time saver. And it just shows you which bits you can put together for a six-week course in home groups or other small groups. And again, you would adapt that and move that to whatever suited your setting. You'll also find that there's a links and further resources PDF on there. That will give you some of the information you need to start linking in to networks locally that already exist. This is what I mean about not having to be experts ourselves, but having an easy go-to there. But what I particularly want to draw your attention to today are the ministerial reflections. They're there, about three or four down on the sheet that you have. And they've been written by Anne Wilkinson Hayes, who many of you will remember from the Baptist Assembly. She was a speaker a few years ago. She's got about 30 years pastoral experience in lots of different contexts. And they've really been created specifically with you in mind as a way into this whole issue from the perspective of somebody who sat where you're sitting. And the challenge I want to give you today is that you will make some time, you'll make a date with your diary beyond this conference to work through these reflections, maybe within your normal quiet time, maybe at a separate time. But you would block in four appointments, 30 or 45 minutes, following this conference within the next month or 2 months, and allow yourself to reflect and engage in the way that, Anne directs through those reflections. After you've read and reflected, we hope that you will be inspired and equipped to stand with us. And the postcards you have show some of the different ways that you can do that. There's an actions PDF on the DVD, which unpacks those in much more depth and in three different groups: things you can do as a church, things you can do as individuals, and for the media savvy amongst you, things you can do on social media. We talked about having an awareness of prayer and the size of this issue and the very real danger of overwhelm. And I want to end in that place too. Perhaps if you just take a moment to pull out one of those areas of prayer for yourself. Of course, the third one, includes all of you too. Just take that into quiet prayer, and then I'll close with a few sentences before we move to Albania. Loving God, as we consider these issues, help us to be open to what you would teach us, that we might better serve you and better serve the congregations you've called us to love and to lead closer to you.